Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
G'day, Richo. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. And yourself?
Oh, I'm not bad. I suppose I'm a bit down this afternoon, and I thought that, you know, I might feel a bit better after talking to you, but I don't know. It's all over a football match, Graham, that, you know.
All I can say is that if you're going to be a South supporter, you will have moments of disappointment.
Jeez, I tell you what, it was one hell of a moment of disappointment last night. I mean, I walked away. I thought, oh, God, they're done. And I wasn't wrong. I mean, I woke up this morning and, you know, realised that when the news came on that they had been done. But my goodness. You know, Richo, I was thinking about this morning. You know what annoys me and always has about the Rabbitohs? And I've been a lifelong supporter of the Rabbitohs. But the inconsistency, I mean, and that's the trouble with teams that go up and down like a bloody yo-yo. I mean, there's that inconsistency. Champion teams are 9.9 times out of 10 always good, aren't they? They always play good. They know how to play and they play well 9.9 out of 10 times.
Correct. You know, champion teams play like champions. But you really do have to expect you got to have the odd day off. I mean, everybody has the odd day off. I think South have just had a couple recently.
They have. Anyway, congratulations to Saints. They played well. They played extremely well. We're going to jump all over the place here today. Let's start with New South Wales introducing an extra year of education. It's the biggest reform of schooling in a generation, offering 5 days per week of pre-kindergarten to every four-year-old. Now, they say it's going to start by 2030. They'll start trials next year. Your thoughts? Good idea, you think?
Yeah, well, I was put into kindergarten at four. So somehow my mother got me in.
Right.
Didn't seem to do me any harm. I think it's probably a good move. But these are inevitable moves. As more and more women are working and less are staying at home, you're going to find more and better ways to look after their kids.
And research shows that, you know, the first 5 years of a child's life are critical for their development and strongly predict not only how they will perform in school, but also their, believe it or not, their long-term health and their involvement with the justice system. You can understand the involvement with the justice system, but that long-term health, I was amazed when I read that. But obviously, you know, what you teach your kids before they go to school is really, really important.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt parents still have a role. We haven't been made redundant just yet.
Graham, look, this is a budget. This is a budget promise. And obviously the New South Wales government are putting together an election budget because March 25 next year is when we go to the polls again in New South Wales. Again, we were talking about this yesterday afternoon. There were so many promises federally made over the last 6 weeks. We got sick and tired of hearing promises and plans and this and that. And as I said yesterday afternoon, really not one of those promises made by the LNP will be delivered on throughout that entire 6 weeks simply because they didn't win the election. This could end up on the cutting floor, as we say in the film industry as well, if Dominic Perrottet doesn't win in 2023, true?
Yeah, true, absolutely true. I think the cutting floor is going to get plenty of mess.
it actually will, won't it? Yes. Wouldn't like to be the person with the broom sweeping it up.
No, I wouldn't, mate. It's going to be a big job.
Speaking of that, I mean, crystal ball for me. You see polls. We get to talk to people on a regular basis. I mean, the Liberal Party's been in New South Wales for, what, 9, 10 years? Or is it 11 years? I keep losing count. But they've been in a long time. And is it getting to the stage, Richo, again, like it was this time round federally, where a change is probably better than a holiday?
Yeah, I think it's getting to that stage. It's not a criticism of Perrottet, it's just that Perrottet isn't Gladys. You know, Gladys was enormously popular. And so you couldn't expect her successor to match her figures. You know, her numbers were just so good. As Keating would say, a beautiful set of numbers.
Chris Minns is a good leader, though. He hasn't put He hasn't put many feet wrong, has he? If any.
No, he doesn't miss a beat, Chris Minns. I've got to say that he works hard. He's a tireless worker, and he's a bright guy. So, if you're working hard and you've got a bit of smarts about you, there's always a chance you're going to do well. But in the circumstances he finds himself, where you know a long-term, very popular premier is no longer there. Then that's manna from heaven for an opposition leader.
Yeah, true. Interesting times ahead. Again, Dominic Perrottet has urged the Albanese government to speed up visa processing and help the states to address worker shortages, both Victoria and New South Wales. We're talking about, you know, are going to need hundreds of staff over the next decade to fill the expanded early childhood education programs. But over and above all that, let's talk about what's actually happening now. And that is, there are hundreds of cafes and restaurants that are desperate for visa workers to come and fill the positions that they just simply can't fill. I can't believe that we actually live in a state where cafes and restaurants have to close down for several days of the week because they can't stock they can't staff their business, so they have to close down. They have no other option, Richard.
No, it's a very strange thing that our young people seem reluctant to take up jobs as waiters. I mean, I was a barman, a waiter, whatever I needed to be when I was a young bloke, and I think those jobs do you a world of good. They teach you to get knocked around a bit. They teach you humility. It means you're learning life at the coalface. And it's a really good idea.
So do you agree with Dominic Perrottet that Anthony Albanese needs to speed up the visa processing to help help all this out, smooth this
over? Yes, I do. I think, visa processing, you're always trying to make it quicker. But you've got a whole department there got to justify their existence who are always trying to make it slower. So it's one of those lifelong battles.
Richard, what's your thought on the story this week about the stamp duty versus a land tax? I mean, Dominic Perrottet, what does he want to do? He wants to leave a legacy, I think.
The stamp duty over time. I agree with him. I'd much prefer a land tax to stamp duty. Stamp duty is just so brutal. It hurts the new home market terribly. So, as far as I'm concerned, he's on the right track.
Have you lost power this week at your house?
I'm not sure if we lost it. I think we've done pretty well.
Anthony Albanese says his plan to upgrade the energy transmission system and invest in battery storage is the certainty that businesses need to invest in clean energy. He said that this morning on telly. He said that almost a decade of delay and denial under the previous government had thwarted investment into the renewable energy sector. Do you agree with that?
I think that's probably a largely political statement.
Right.
I think the reality is that people have been reluctant to invest in a sector that hasn't proved itself. That's really where we're up to. I mean, battery technology has not matched the advance we expected of it. And so that just makes life difficult for all of us.
But, Richo, there was an article today in one of the papers, and the headline says, Canavan slams insane moves to ditch coal power generators as Australia sends its resources overseas. And basically the story says, Australia's not building any new coal-fired power plants, despite exporting high-quality thermal coal to keep the lights on in other countries. For example, there are these new high-efficiency, low-emissions coal-fired power plants that are being built. Japan is building them, and China is building them, and India is building them. We're supplying the coal, or the bulk of the coal, for the Japanese, the Chinese, and the Indians to build these new megawatt power stations. We're supplying the coal, but we're not doing it here.
No, this anti-coal movement has really set in, and it's dangerous for Australia. You know, coal will be an important part of the energy mix for you turning your lights on or getting your heater on or getting your air conditioning on, whatever, for the next 50 years. And if we think that we can advance that well, well and good, but I have seen no evidence that it'll be advanced very much. So, you know, if you think about it, you just lie back and enjoy your coal-fired power. You don't even have to think of England.
So you would disagree with a statement made by the Energy Secretary Board, Anna Collier. She said the crisis that we've experienced this week in the energy market has strengthened the case for Australia to reduce its reliance on gas and coal in favour of renewables.
Oh, that's nonsense. If I'm allowed to say so.
Yes, you are.
I think that's ridiculous. I think, as I said, coal's going to be a very big part of our energy mix for a long time.
When are politicians on the Labor side going to agree with you?
Reality will make them come around eventually. I think there's a lot of pretense about renewables because we want them, desperately want them to be more than they can be at the moment. And unfortunately, wishes don't make for facts.
I see that today Mark McGowan has said that a national gas reserve was an idea worth exploring. They've got a state gas reserve in WA, 15%, and he was amazed that we don't have it nationally. It's something we should pursue, although he says that in retrospect, a national gas reserve may be hard to get going in retrospect. He says it may be difficult.
Yeah, in retrospect, it's difficult because states have already got contracts they've got to fulfil. But that doesn't mean it isn't a bad idea. Just because something's difficult doesn't make it wrong. It just means you might have to have a different timetable. But you can do it. And we need to do it desperately. You know, we've got to look after ourselves first and the rest of the world second.
How much pressure is going to be placed on the Labor government with the number of teals in Canberra? And I'm thinking about what we've been talking about this afternoon with that big word coal, right? Because you don't mention the word coal in front of teals. How much pressure do you think is going to be placed upon the government not to go down that road because of the teals, the number of teals?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Senate, because you've got a whole lot of different groups in the Senate pulling different directions. And it's going to be fascinating to see who turns out being the best puller. I don't know who that's going to be yet.
Hundreds of lives could be saved and tens of thousands of COVID-19 infections avoided, they say, if more people wore masks indoors. There was a report out today by Professor Margaret Hellard of the Burnet Institute. Basically, we've been shown and it's been proven that masks, are beneficial in reference to the non-transmission of COVID-19. But you read that on one page of the paper and then you go, masks and rules, or mask rules, are going to be scrapped in airport terminals, and there's increasing calls for a similar move for flights across New South Wales public transport. So it looks like the numbers for COVID today in Australia, Richo, 30,025 people in the last 24 hours contracted COVID-19 in Australia. 30,000. And there were 52 deaths in the last 24 hours as a result of COVID-19. I mean, these numbers are going through the roof.
They sure are. They're frightening, aren't they?
Ah, you go back 6 months ago, if we were seeing these sort of numbers, we'd all be locked down and couldn't go outside.
Yep, that's right. I find these numbers pretty scary still. I look at them and, I take a lot of care because of my age and state of health. COVID wouldn't do me a whole lot of good. So I take extra care all the time.
I'm like you. I imagine you're still wearing masks when you go out, are you? Apart from, when you go to a restaurant, you obviously have to take your mask off. But it seems only sensible when you're in large numbers of people that still, until we get this under control, you still wear a mask. There is another variant out today, a BA1.5 or 5.1, whatever they call it. And the experts are telling us it is more transmissible than the current variant of Omicron. So it seems as though when they find a new variant, Richo, it's not as dangerous, but it's more transmissible.
That's right. That seems to be happening with each one. Well, at least the danger level's going down. That's something. It's going to kill less people. and put less people in hospital. That's obviously a positive sign for society. But you can't get rid of it, mate. It's just one of those horrible things that hangs around no matter what.
Yeah, it's here to stay, unfortunately, for the meantime. All right, Richo, we'll let you go. Thank you, as always. It's lovely to catch up with you. Our time goes quickly on a Friday afternoon. But you look after yourself and have a nice weekend, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Good on you, Brett. All the best to you in Newcastle.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.